Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 419-528-TDRK to leave a voicemail, and we just may play it on the show.
Chris, B-I-T-S, bits. Back in the saddle. We're back after 2 weeks of fucking up.
Yeah. Well, I think it's actually longer than that.
What do you mean?
Oh, just the fucking up. At this, it's been 2 weeks. For you.
Damn it.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Is that why you're wrecked and coming correct?
I'm not wrecked. I'm just coming correct.
You're close.
What makes you say that I'm wrecked?
Who you are.
What a to do to diet today at a minute or two to two. A particularly difficult thing to say, yet harder still to do. For the beat a tattoo at a quarter to two, a rat-a-tat-tat, a rat-tat-a-two-two. And the dragon will come when he hears the drum a minute or two to two today at a minute or two to two. There we go. All right. See, is that wrecked, son?
It's too bad you couldn't do that while you walked a straight line.
To be fair,
I can't. His body's drunk, but his mouth works.
To be fair, I can't walk a straight line in general. So,
can you walk a straight line in these shoes? Try it.
These are rollerblades.
Nickelodeon moon shoes.
Moon boots. Hey, Chris, moon what boots. Episode is this? It's 81.
This is
just
episode
so you know.
Number 86.
81.
80. No, it's not. It's more than that.
Is it?
Sure. I mean, I know you don't care about this one as much as like the others, but I think it's more.
This is going to be okay. So just so you know, this is going to be the theme of this episode. Okay. 86. Okay. There we go. All right. So 86, it's 86 of this,
yeah,
of this podcast.
That one that we recorded that was 86. You said 86.
Yeah.
We discussed that and then they 86'd it.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. No, now I remember that. Yep. I couldn't tell because when I tried to edit it, it was nothing but static because of a fuck up on my end, which I'm going to own at the outset of this episode, just so it can cut your pillories off at the past. Yeah. So like, you know, any time you try and like cut me down at that, I admit I done fucked up. All right. We recorded an episode last week. It was supposed to go up after our week off. And because I moved my desk and because I hooked things up in a jacked up way, it made everything staticky, like beyond repair. So we have not only one, but two missing episodes right now. So yeah. But this is our return to form. We're going to come correct. We're going to bring the heat. And this is going to be just about the best thing ever. Can we promise that?
You can.
Okay, I will.
Good.
But I guess what I'm going to try to say, Chris, I will not abide any of your snipes or barbs at, you know, me for mismanaging this endeavor. Okay?
You call it an endeavor.
Chris, tell me a story. Oh, wait, this is the comedy podcast. My name is Cole Ross. You're Chris Ross.
Brevity, man. Brevity. You want me to tell you stories?
Yes, stories.
All right. A disgruntled Bank of America banker, Jason Selch.
I'm so happy I didn't pick this story.
What?
Sorry. I'm happy that I didn't pick this story.
Oh, he burst into a conference room to berate his bosses and finish things off by mooning the room and telling one exec, don't you ever fucking come to Chicago.
Stay out of Malibu, Lebowski.
Stay out of Malibu, Lebowski. There we go. We got it.
There we go. All right. That's it. So, we're done.
So, and this is why I picked this story. It was not because he mooned him. He received a formal warning for the mooning until Bank of America CEO Keith Banks. wonder how he got that job.
Oh, man. I was about ready to snake like a terrible Seinfeld bit. Like by saying like what happens if we name your kid Jeeves? He's going to be a butler. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Heard about the incident and demanded that the guy be fired just months before a $2 million bonus package would have vested. Selch is sued, arguing that he couldn't be fired for cause because the mooning didn't interfere with his duties. What? This ass? Oh, no, the ledgers are balanced.
The ledgers are balanced on my ass.
It's just, don't worry about this ass. Those ledgers.
Yeah.
Debits and credits all add up.
You're out there fucking the ass of America. But no, this ass, it's completely correct. Don't worry. Don't worry. Everything's straight. Everything is straight with this ass. Don't worry.
Nope. The taxes on this ass are current.
See, you know,
this ass has currently been taxed.
They're tapped and taxed. Yeah. So this guy,
I'd like to tap into that account.
He made the cardinal rule. He broke the cardinal rule of banking, which is you're immune to pretty much everything, no matter what you do. Right.
You can. Yeah. I mean, you can kill diplomat kids, you know,
exactly. You can run them over, put the car in reverse back over them and then peel out.
I think you can bomb an embassy with a bank ID.
Exactly. You just flash that. Nope. You're cool. They let you.
Sorry.
It's kind of like, oh, hey, you put on your shades and you peel out on your jet ski. Just take off into the sunset of Monaco with your fly honeys. Yeah. No problem. Right. But what he forgot was the only crime that cannot be abided in the financial sector is insulting people who are more insecure. I'm sorry, have a better title than you. A human ass is kind of like a loaded gun. You don't wave it around without, you know, accepting the, you know, being ready to accept the consequences. And this guy, you know what? He messed with the bull and he got the horns, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
I don't get the analogy, but definitely.
He's an American hero. It wasn't really an analogy. It was more of a Breakfast Club reference. But
oh, yeah, you like movies where they just talk on and on over top of the... Yeah, I got that.
Okay. I do like talkie movies. I like the talkies, sure. Chris.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason you like sports movies like The Sandlot.
What do you mean?
Is because, you know, Richard Dreyfuss talks over the video a lot in that.
Man, Richard Dreyfuss, that guy, he's a voice acting hero.
Love the Wonder Years.
Oh man, no, that was Daniel Stern.
I know who that is.
were you geek testing me?
Well, no, I wasn't. I mean, I know you love the show.
Yeah, no, it was good. I grew up with.
Yeah. Kevin Arnold and Wendy.
Winnie Cooper.
Wendy.
Winnie Cooper, the perennial cock tease of our generation. Yeah.
Wendy Cooper.
Wendy Copperfield, the perennial cock tease of our generation. And Caleb Armand. Yep.
So that's what she's doing now.
Wendy Copperfield and Caleb Armand. No, Winnie Cooper. She's like a math lady now.
She's one of those women David Copperfield pays to make him not look gay.
No, Winnie Cooper, she's a math lady now. I remember reading an article about this outside of a calculus class before I failed out of it miserably. She's like writing, you know, she's got like a PhD in mathematics, and she is teaching, she's writing books like trying to encourage young girls to, you know, say like, hey, you know, math and science are cool, right? You know, trying to raise the level of, you know, acceptance that those fields of study have for young women, right?
What about Kevin's friend, Mike Spitz?
What was his name? He was like a real dweeb. He was like Milhouse. He was like the proto Milhouse.
Yeah. What is his name?
His name is Jake.
Jake the Snake. Yeah.
Yeah. Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake.
Jake the. So we have Caleb Armand, his girlfriend Wendy Copperfield, and also Jake the Snake.
And the geeky neighbor, Jake the Snake.
The geeky neighbor kid, Jake the Snake. And they had like a dude breakup when he decided to go to a college prep school as opposed to, you know, going to the general public high school.
Paul Pfeiffer.
Yes, Paul Pfeiffer. And his older brother was Wayne. So, yeah.
Josh Saviano, who played Paul Pfeiffer, is actually a powerful attorney now. He went to some like law school, and he's a big deal.
Man, that's like the opposite of Star Wars. Like everybody who acted in Star Wars, except for Harrison Ford, went on to have like a shitty career. But this thing, like everybody broke out of acting and became like really respectable people.
Sure.
The Wonder Years, Chris. You know what?
There must have been a good set. There was a good school on that set.
It was a very supportive environment. It was a very
they were learning equations and not just going into each other like on Full House.
What was Bonaducci on? What was the Duce on? He was on a Partridge Family.
The Partridge Bus.
Yeah, the Partridge Bus. The Partridge
Vehicle.
The, the bird vehicle. He was on Bird Band.
He was the drummer in Bird Band.
He was a drummer in Bird Band. And are you saying that Donald Bannerdosha, he was on the Bird Band?
Hung himself from a pear tree.
Brooks was here. You never escape from being a child star. You're institutionalized forever. Just ask Corey Haim. Feldman? Is it Haim or Feldman who's dead now?
Both.
Okay.
They were so close that when one of them died, the other one kind of died too.
Yeah, they were. he just wouldn't eat, and then he disappeared one day. They found him frozen in the woods, dead of despair. Chris, as this episode is being heard, there is a glorious occasion that is coming up, both here locally and abroad, and that occasion is Oktoberfest.
Sure.
Okay. Here in Cincinnati has the second largest Oktoberfest in the world. It's being held from September 22nd through September the 23rd. The only one that is larger in this planet Earth is in Munich. However, Oktoberfest all over the world, especially in Munich and Cincinnati, are in peril right now. Okay?
Dun, dun, dun.
Wow. Beer brewers in Munich are terrified of an upcoming supply shortage in the face of this year's Oktoberfest, as I mentioned, coming up here very soon. They're not short on suds, Chris. They're short on containers. The hotter than normal summer this year increased beer consumptions throughout the region in Germany and also in America. And fewer people than normal returned their bottles to the distributor. Now, here's something I didn't know, and it actually kind of grosses me out a little bit as I pull from my Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Dude, those are used bottles.
50 times. They wash them, they sanitize them, and they reuse them 50 times. Okay. Now, I have friends who listen to this show. I have friends, you know, very close friends who brew, and I say, you know, when I can, I save bottles for them. You know, they say like, hey, you know, if you can save those for me, like that, I understand, because they're going to take them, they're going to boil them, whatever. It's going to be like five people, whatever. 50 times. So this, it's too full for it to make a sound. That 50 mouths. I am mouth number 50 on the neck of this bottle. In a row.
So these are bottles that are turned in whole. Like, right. They're not gluing back together bottles that were used as bomb knives.
Thank you for cleaning that up. No, these are bottles that are like returned to the distributor. We're actually really retrograde here in Ohio, because like Michigan and I think Indiana, like every state around us has like a bottle deposit kind of thing where you take bottles in back in and they pay you for them. Whereas with us,
five cents, 10 cents, whatever it is. Sure.
Yeah. Like you're renting the bottles and you're buying the beer. Right. Whereas here in Ohio, because everybody who listens to this show is in Ohio and they're not like in fucking Hong Kong and Norway or whatever. Sorry, you know, everybody. But here in Ohio, like we're the outliers. Like I'm looking over at my office, you know, trash can, let alone the fact that my apartment complex doesn't do recycling, which is fucking awful. I hate it. But yeah, like that's, so these go in the trash and they go away forever.
Well, there's a lot of people where you live or that are saving bomb knives.
Chris, Cincinnati, second biggest Oktoberfest in the world. We all have a stake in this. All right. We all have a stake in this. So the shortage is hitting two brewers, the most, Löwenbräu, which I don't care about, and Spaten, which is near and dear to my heart. If you're going to be at the Cincinnati Oktoberfest, I will likely be sitting at the Spaten tent, most of the day. With friends and colleagues, just getting down. But yeah, who knows? There's also a shortage on kegs, like more so than the usual. Like people just like you know, put their deposit down on kegs and they turn them in for scrap metal and get more than they receive, so they can go buy meth.
Cool. Good.
Good. It's not good. It's terrible.
No, I think you don't want me to go all political or anything. I can't.
What do you mean?
We've reached a point where the things that we have are worth more as trash than they are as things.
Well, yeah, like that's been the case like forever. I mean, you know, like meth heads basically turn every single thing that we own. Like, if the component parts of a house are now worth more to meth heads than the house itself.
The component parts of a meth head are worth more than the meth head.
Exactly. Chris, meth heads, they piss in bottles and they drink the piss.
I sold myself for meth, not knowing that if I didn't have myself, I couldn't do meth.
Chris, if you bite into the kidney of a meth addict, it like a ripe apple, like a ripe pink princess apple,
head
like
rush.
A ripe Fuji apple, you will be tripping balls for weeks, okay?
Zoom, zoom in the boom, boom room.
You know what? You take it. You take a nice crisp bite out of that meth head kidney. Then you just suck on that on the adrenal gland for a little while. You're going for weeks. You know, sure. You're going to wake up on the other side of the country with a new name and a body of literary works. All right. You're going to be the next Bukowski.
I'm going to be
football season is over.
Sleeping in a sauna.
Football season's over, Chris. We're not fucking around anymore.
Like they're doing in Vietnam. In an attempt to detoxify people who were exposed to Agent Orange during the Vietnam War, the Vietnamese government is relying on L. Ron Hubbard.
Holy
the
shit.
The purification rundown or Hubbard method.
Are the side ties rolling in?
They are.
Warning.
Dude, he's just like sitting with his legs hanging off like of a hanging off a Huey with his e-meter in his lap. Just fucking reading. Just reading motherfuckers down. What are you going to do?
Okay,
the Hubbard method involves taking vitamins and minerals and sweating a lot due to exercise and time in a sauna.
Yeah, it's basically a B12 flush
and a butt.
And a butt what?
And a butt fingering.
And a butt fingering.
Yeah.
That's where the tricky ones live.
Sure, that's where the tricky evil lives.
Like the cavity creeps in your teeth, the butt thetans, okay?
No, absolutely.
Absolutely. So yeah, the purification rundown, like that has some kind of like basis in science, which is like, hey, we take a bunch of vitamins and like go into a sauna for like a little bit. Like the notion of toxins, it's complete bullshit. But like that's going to improve your health somewhat because it's going to like flush your fluids and make you, you know, just healthier in general. I don't have any science to back that up, but neither does he. But the problem with the purification rundown is that like people fucking die because, you know, if their constitution is already like compromised by either old age or, you know, immune deficiencies or in this case, you know, exposure to empty wallets. Or in this case, exposure to military grade defoliation chemicals. Yeah. Then yeah, they're gonna fucking die.
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen there. I mean, yeah. It would be safer for you to say, I don't know, get better by climbing on a roof on a freezing day and eating trick cereal.
But only for kids.
No. That's only therapy for abused children.
Exactly. Hey, did I let you finish that story before I went on my Scientology
negative
rant?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Negative, sorry. Okay, so like, I assume people are outraged?
Nah, not really. A spokesperson from the American Embassy in Hanoi says the U.S. government is not involved in the program and is also not aware of any safe, effective detoxification treatment for people with dioxin in their body tissues.
I would argue neither is anybody else, but...
Yeah. A Vietnamese doctor confirmed his medical facility was trained in the use of the method by the Association for Better Living and Education, which is a Scientology-funded organization.
See, they get their tentacles into everything. Just by saying this, I'm going to like be sued to fucking, you know, hell and high water.
Sure.
But my favorite story about that is there was this organization called the Center for Cult Awareness or something like that that listed Scientology as one of the primary culprits, right? And so they sued them into oblivion until they went bankrupt. Then they bought them, and now whenever somebody calls and says, "Oh my God, I think I might be in a cult," a Scientologist picks up and says, "Hey, come over here." That's what they do, Chris.
Did you just cry and say, "I think I need a cuddle"?
No, I think I'm in a cult.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, that might have been a Freudian slip, but
I think
who
I
knows?
Need a cuddle.
I think I need a cuddle, Chris.
Are you going to start singing an excess song to me?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding Because I'm not sleeping.
Yeah, no, that's this
something
has this has implications
makes me
like
sweat.
So slide over here. Sorry, I cut to the chorus. I'm sorry.
But the hook,
the chorus,
that hook,
the refrain. This has implications like 30 years down the line, like when all the people who were affected, you know, who were affected by the dioxin, you know, they die off, and then this new Scientology wave takes root there. We're gonna have to wage another war of containment to keep them down. They don't fear death.
No, not at all.
They're gonna have their own Sea Org. Everything terrible.
They do have a lot of sea over there and trails.
Yeah. Pretty much all trails and seas.
It's an island nation, right?
Patties? No. It's part of the
They have beautiful Finger Lakes.
It's part of the Asian subcontinent. Yeah.
It's a lush canopy in this forest, right?
It's next to Cambodia and Myanmar.
Laos.
Formerly known as Burma.
Laos.
That's where Khan from King of the Hill.
Oh, really?
Is from. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laos.
Yeah.
Way the future. So let's see here. Chris, poison control centers across the country are issuing a warning to parents. This includes both of us. Keep an eye on your single-use detergent capsules. Okay?
Okay.
You know what they are. Tide has them. Pretty much everybody does. There are these little things. They're all the rage right now. They have like solid soaps mixed in with different gels and patterns and things like that, all wrapped up in this plastic-like membrane. It's like a little puck of soap, which you know, gets rid of the perils of pouring. You know,
they look like an everlasting gobstopper.
Exactly. Pretty much exactly. You're right. Yeah. You know. So. For that reason, because they look like the everlasting gobstopper, which is a terrible business decision, by the way. Seriously, it never goes away? You're a fucking moron, Wonka. No, these colorful containers pose a severe risk to young children. Chris, an average of 13 children under the age of 5 are admitted into hospitals each day after attempting to eat the brightly colored products. Says one mother whose child suffered from this particular bout of stupidity. It feels like soap, but it looks like candy. It feels like soap, but it looks like candy.
That could be said for a lot of things.
See, I don't do this. You know, I've got these. They make dishwasher detergent in this. You know, and I like those. Those are kind of cool, but mostly because I don't like the feel of powders against my skin as I even off the top. So I like just picking this puck out of the bag and throwing it in there. The powders, they kind of stick to you, especially if you're kind of moist.
I don't like those.
You don't like the pucks?
That I don't like. The powders.
Oh, the powder. Yeah, no, the powder. No, not. Just feels bad against my skin. It sticks, and I have to wash my hands again. It's like washing dishes. Like, is an endeavor that involves like 5 times of washing my hands. Did I tell you about when the chicken bled all over my groceries?
Not when chicken that you purchased. Not the chicken, like your pet chicken.
When Rodney, my pet chicken. No.
Dude, I love that your Rodney's that Rodney is your pet chicken name.
Yeah. But no.
Love that you're Rodney's owner.
Yeah, I love that you know how to take care of Rodney. I managed to stop the bleeding. He is okay now. Rodney's fine, listener. Rodney's fine.
I love Rodney more than you do.
I know you do. You visit him. You visit him 2 times a week. You make a point. You make me do a Skype call with him, a video Skype call with Rodney. No, I felt like a fucking nut, but I didn't know what else to do. Okay, this was last weekend. I'd gone grocery shopping. Now, whenever I go grocery shopping,
dude, I can't believe your eyes didn't start bleeding.
At what?
The fact that there was chicken blood all over your crackers. This seems like something you need a hotline for.
I, So whenever I go grocery shopping, a large portion of my diet consists of meat. Okay.
A conference called the CDC and 911.
Take me to the top.
And the PNG hotline for people who swallow those fucking pods. Why not?
Exactly. No, so in this case, the meat that I bought, the meat that was on sale, that I cooked all at once, and I have like 2 gallon baggies of right now that I subsist on for like 3 weeks. Chicken breasts, like a big family pack of Meyer brand family chicken breasts. Okay.
Oh, yeah, you ate a family of chickens.
Yes, with rib meat. With
last
rib
night.
Meat. Last night. Okay. So when I was doing the self-checkout, I thought, huh, that's kind of weird. My groceries are kind of wet. That kind of sucks. But I figured it was because of frozen foods and condensation and all of that. But when I was bagging stuff up, I picked up the family pack of chicken, and I saw that like everything was... I saw a puddle, a puddle of poultry blood underneath it. Okay. The bat, like the containment had been breached. All right. Somebody had breached the containment, and thus all of my accoutrement, all of my sundries, my crackers, as you said, my Ritz crackers and my Pepperjack cheese and my Coke Zero and my, you know, everything covered in poultry blood. All right. So like, I kind of like wig out and I look at my hands and I run over. Thankfully, we live in a more enlightened age where we have Lysol wipes the carts. So I grabbed like a bunch of those and I wiped my hands and I quickly bagged up the chicken, you know, like triple bagged it, tied it up, and I put it on the bottom of the cart. And then I just quickly grabbed everything and I put it in its own bag. I was like, I'm going to contain this later. I got it home and then I unloaded everything onto the counter, and I have my own Lysol wipes at the house, and I proceeded to decontaminate everything I brought into the house. And then I took Lysol wipes and I decontaminated my steering wheel, my shifter, my trunk lid, my keys, and my cell phone, and my headphones. Yeah. Everything that I touched subsequent to drenching it in chicken blood.
Did you pull out a roadie box with Bominos on the side and decontaminate your house?
Everything, Chris. And I felt like Howard fucking Hughes.
Way everybody wins.
Everybody wins. But what else am I gonna do? Like,
just save your urine. That's all that's left.
Give salmonella to everybody. But
who's everybody?
Everybody I come in contact with.
Who comes to your house?
Nobody comes to my house, but I go to them.
Sure, but you don't give salmonella.
Chris, I am a vigorous handshaker. When I deign to leave the house and go into crowds of large people, whether it's work or whether it's Oktoberfest, I am a very generous, I'm a very gregarious.
That's why you don't like crowds, is because there's so many peepers.
So many peepers just looking at me.
So many peepers looking at me.
So many peepers looking at me, just staring through my translucent skin to all of the pathogens that are residing inside.
I don't know about this crowd, Julian. Yeah. So many peepers.
but yeah, I have no idea what led to that. I don't use the detergent pucks. I'm more of a fan of I use Cheer. I use Cheer. It's like Cheer free, which means it has no fragrance to it. So therefore it cannot irritate my skin.
So therefore it's quite literal.
What is?
Cheer free.
Chris, tell me a story.
Clothes smell.
Way of the future. Yeah, go ahead and tell me a story. Yeah. Quick.
This has been covered a little bit, but it kind of leads into something else I want to talk about. And I had a funny comment. So okay. For your breakfast tomorrow, how does 17 teaspoons of sugar sound? That's exactly what you get if you pick up Taco Bell's new morning drink, Mountain Dew AM, which is Mountain Dew and orange juice mixed. I saw that a blogger commented, and she wrote that it tastes like a bet that someone lost.
Okay, Mountain Dew and orange juice. This is like a white trash mimosa.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But the Taco Bell ad, I don't say it's ad copy, it's their thought process.
Their ad philosophy.
Say Taco Bell is trying to reinvent breakfast. So the video might go something like, hey, does your breakfast need reinventing? Well, Taco Bell's trying to reinvent breakfast. To that end, it has launched the Mountain Dew AM, as well as a new breakfast sandwich. The sandwich, called the AM Crunch Wrap, contains eggs, cheese, meat, and a hash brown. Taco Bell is calling it a complete breakfast solution. Hey, excuse me. Is lunch going to be soon? Because my complete breakfast solution is almost gone.
This complete breakfast solution, it only solves things.
Do you have janitorial staff here today? Because my breakfast solution's on the wall.
It's slowly leaking out of me and going, and it is going to breach the perimeter of my chair and dribble down the legs.
Sure.
Do you have
I've been over to drop trowel and I psych patient to the wall.
The psych patient.
I pulled an angry inmate.
It exploded out of the back of me like a party favor.
That's how that works.
Oh God! First thing in the morning. Occasionally, I will make the mistake. I will make the and like I've tried to ritualize it to contain it, but I get a craving for a sausage biscuit from McDonald's.
Sure,
they're a dollar.
Biscuits are good, right? They're a dollar. Sure.
It's a dollar, and I will drive through the drive through, and get a sausage biscuit, and sometimes if I'm feeling saucy, a hash brown, and I will proceed to regret it for the rest of the day because their biscuits are saturated in grease, and so are the hash browns by nature. This contains a hash brown, a full hash brown.
See, what I do is I solve problems, and when I see something like 17 teaspoons of sugar and the untold amount of calories that are within my total breakfast pocket and
solution,
my total breakfast pocket,
it's
stuff with breakfast, but then I hear stories like the effect that the drought is having throughout the country, and that black bears are coming out of the woodwork to raid human homes and trash bins in what ABC News dubs a bear epidemic. What?
I'm just picturing that like a zombie epidemic, something.
What? ABC? Did you what?
We have werebears.
I don't know who your anchor is, but I swear they better not be throwing that around lightly. The kids are up. It's sick.
The kids. The world is ending.
Police in Aspen, Colorado, for instance, got, and I this is for real now, 292 calls about bear intrusions in August alone, up from 38 last year. This is where the synergy happens. This is the crucible right here.
The crucible. This is where it all comes together. This is where the fire meets these two ingredients, and a beautiful synthesis is born.
Sure, absolutely. This is the hole you jam all these solutions in. Bears are trying to bulk up for hibernation. They're looking at trying to consume 20,000 calories a day.
Jesus Lord.
And it's perfect. Especially for Taco Bell, because they will spend 20 of 24 hours a day looking for fourth meal.
I don't know if I have 20,000 calories in my house right now.
Shoot, I don't even know.
Man.
See, that's why Phelps didn't do good at the Olympics this year, is because he stopped living with the bear family.
Exactly. I knew something was up. I thought he was raised by mer people, but in fact, he was raised by bears.
Weird, right?
He was raised by black bears outside of Denver. Black bear, Denver black bears.
The Denver black bears.
Yes. Yeah. A minor league hockey team.
I don't know, arena softball.
Like how hard is it to fuck up a breakfast burrito
during a bear epidemic?
During a bear epidemic, you can breakfast burritos can be delicious, and whenever there is something delicious, you're going to have to put it in a box and suspend it from a tree because bears are going to be after it. However, like, why did that description of a breakfast burrito like a, okay, so a breakfast burrito, a whole wheat tortilla, scrambled eggs, some sausage, a little bit of shredded cheese, some kind of spicy sauce, and some diced up peppers. That is a delicious and great way to start your day. It has protein.
What a great commercial.
What, that thing I just did there?
No, not that. No, not sorry. That at all.
So,
no,
okay.
It was a Kara, Mara, no more thinking about breakfast.
You get the axe back in the mix. That's what I call Dan Aykroyd now. He's the axe. You get him back in the mix, and he's out there slinging breakfast burritos in the face of these drought bears, in the face of this drought bear epidemic, with him and his crystal skulls and his alien ghost conspiracies. Perfect match. He gets out there, you know. He gets in front of this. Or are you thinking like something like where they like, you know, do some kind of like digital distortion on it, like where they made like Fred Astaire dance with a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, something like that. Maybe they could put JFK in between Kara and Mara,
big
like in bed with them, with one arm around each of them.
Yeah, yeah. John Lennon can say it's something about him on Captain Kangaroo as he sits next to him. Yeah, big burrito, big burrito, big burrito chase, big burrito chase me, and then breakfast.
Big burrito.
There were no survivors.
Sure.
Oh man, I feel bad for anybody who didn't have the great outdoors as a part of their life, as a part of their childhood, as a part of their rearing, as a part of their philosophy.
As a part of who they are,
interwoven in the fabric of their
being.
And
that's what I care about.
This bear epidemic.
The Axeman.
The Axeman. Do you want to go somewhere?
Yeah, that's fine.
La Science Zone!
Okay.
Yeah, breaking you down. Little by little. Chris, a study conducted at UCLA reveals a great deal about fear of bears, and how we cope with it. All right. After working with 88 participants with arachnophobia, which is the fear of spiders, not to be confused with coulrophobia, which is the fear of clowns, it was determined that yelling, "I'm afraid of this spider," did more to calm their participants down than attempting to engage in soothing self-talk.
I'm coming.
Shouting, "I'm coming," does more to relieve premature ejaculation than saying, "I'm not about to come. I'm not about to come.
No false
I am so, so sorry." And then weeping. Okay? So soothing self-thought like, "Oh boy, I'm not afraid of the spider. I'm not afraid of the spider." Just admit it. Get out with it. Say it. I'm afraid of the fucking spider. It's freaky. It's got eight eyes. It's got eight legs. I guess I have two eyes and I have two legs.
So just blurting out.
Just say it. Just say it. Just acknowledge it. You just be mindful and you just admit it and you embrace it and all of this. Participants who yelled out an admission of how they were actually feeling did better on subsequent exposure to tarantulas in the future. Quote, "The implication encourages patients as they do their exposure to whatever they are fearful of to label the emotional responses they are experiencing and label the characteristics of the stimuli to verbalize their feelings." So just yell it. Shout it. "This fucking spider's crazy. Get rid of it. I don't want to hear anymore.
This rape is scaring me.
I'm being raped right now. I don't want it to happen. I don't like making light of rape. Not on my podcast. Please don't do that."
And you thought that we couldn't make it any funnier.
Sorry. I went meta there. And you were too busy, you know, making your own joke to notice. "I'm uncomfortable with this kind of humor. Stop it." So
definitely data about
daddies, about daddy long legs, about, yeah, there we go. Full circle. Yeah,
there it is.
Hey. It's mindfulness. It's acknowledging it. It's saying like, "Hey, I'm anxious right now. I'm fearful. I don't know what's going to happen, but you know what? That's okay. Cause I'm in the moment. I'm present. I am focused on the here and the now, the in and the out, the breathing, the breath passing past my nostrils as I embrace what I am, not what I was or what I am going to be."
"I'm angry. You're still talking."
Okay.
Hey, a hospital gave Marcy Edmonds, she's in Arizona, two doses of antivenin, right?
Thank you.
After she was stung by a scorpion, they charged her $35,000 for each dose.
It's rare. Tack on ER bills,
and her total bill was $83,000. Her insurance company, Humana, covered $58,000 roughly, but the hospital sought the balance of $25,000. After the story went public, the hospital said it would reduce the bill by a still undetermined amount, and it apologized to the woman for her distress. It should be noted that the antivenin is available for $100 per dose at pharmacies in Mexico. A distributor sells it to hospitals for $3,800 per dose.
Christ on a bike.
Holy monkeys.
Jesus Lord. So $25,000, that is, you know, more than a lot of people make gross in a year in this country. Yes. Just for being, you know what? She should have been more careful. You know who I blame, Chris?
The Jews.
The victim. Not the Jews. Stop it. I'm not that. Chris, I'm not a reprehensible person. I'm just saying this person.
Those are God's chosen victims.
Jesus. I blame the victim in this case. No.
Healthy victims need showers.
Marker. So.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, loofah her back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Hmm. Let me write that down on an index card. Pornhub. Loofah her back. I am down with that. Okay. No. Anti-venin. You know how they make that, right?
Yeah, they milk them.
No. It's that's not the case. Like, yes, they do milk, you know, snakes and things like that for their venom. Mm-hmm. But in order to stimulate the immune response that will fight off the you know, the effects of the venom, they have these creatures bite horses, and then they extract.
Oh, it's horse blood.
Yeah, they extract horse blood from the infected area, and they see like what enzymes and stuff are released to suppress that, because horses are such hardy creatures. This is my assumption, and this is where my science goes off the rails. And they use that like so for every dose of antivenin in the world, some horse got bit by a snake or stung by a scorpion. So. Just as every product that we use, this microphone that I'm recording on, this phone that I sometimes read notes off of, and this laptop that I read notes off of, was made by the slavery of you know, less privileged people in far off lands. Every life saving dose is the result of an animal suffering.
Poor little horse, you know.
I'm not saying like we shouldn't do it. I mean, progress marches on, whatever. I had ground beef for dinner tonight. However, it's, you know, it's food for thought. It's anti-venin for thought.
I thought that you were going to say that like all the products in the phones and were originally used by horses.
Chris, horses are the ultimate beta testers.
Why do you think they call them equine?
They're patient.
There's a hyphen.
They're thorough. Equine. Hey, Chris, we're about out of time. So do you have one last story for me?
Soon the U.S. might not be the only country filling the skies with drones. Attention? Do I have it?
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
Oh, good.
I didn't interrupt you, so I am listening attentively.
Do we have to go back to bear epidemic? Can we get scared? Can we get terrified about drones?
I'm already terrified about drones. Fuck this country.
They're carrying chicken blood. Are you with me? And they're dropping bombs on like sanitary wipes factories.
Wait, the future. Okay.
Yeah. Open the future's open wide. The Pentagon has listed 66 countries to which it is comfortable selling drones to. Yeah, I think these guys are okay. I think I met him at a party once.
He's
why don't you give him one drone? See how they do. The first drone's free.
Second one, you gotta pay.
Yeah, you can pay for the second one. But the sales haven't begun yet because Congress and the State Department still have to sign off. This list has existed since last year, but it's been held up by efforts to streamline, expedite U.S. weapons export rules. The Obama administration wants one agency, one office, and not Congress or anybody else to decide who can get weapons from us and who can't. Without transparency, without overview, without voting.
That's fucked.
Sure. Streamline that.
Streamline that shit.
Streamline that to our enemies and allies.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a problem that's eating at companies like Northrop Grumman, who I would assume have large lobbying dollars, because they are eager for a bigger market for their global Hawk surveillance drones.
Oh, man. Obama's the new fucking Reagan. Like, hey, we want to sell this thing. Hey, let's streamline this, except instead of having Ollie North, let's take this awful technology that'll kill everybody and let's sell it to people so we can, fuck this shit.
Sure. Hey, there's a reason why it's a capital S and a dollar sign, man.
What do you mean?
Capitalism.
Okay. There we go. We're going to end that on me saying something terrible about Obama. Are you happy?
Oh, no.
No.
I made that all up.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
So, yes, you did say something horrible about Obama.
It's terrible. This drone shit, it's out of control.
It has nothing to do with Obama.
Well, it has everything to do with, him not stopping it. So,
what's he going to do?
Nothing. He's not going to do anything, but still. I can be upset.
Punk bitch ain't going to do anything.
Punk bitch ain't going to step up.
Now we can end it. You calling the president a punk bitch.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Okay, Chris. There is a book published called 1,000 Places You Must See Before You Die. Okay. Lists cities and sites and things like that if you want to be a global traveler and make the most out of your life. However, this last couple minutes of this podcast, it's a handful of things you should do before the next podcast. Do you agree?
I guess, yeah.
Can I run it down?
Do it.
Okay, cool. You can go to duckfeed.tv/thosedamnrosskids. There you will find the nerve center, the operations center, the brains behind this operation. Where you can see a whole list of our episode. You can do a search for different topics and things like that. I am slowly working to add tags to everything. So you can see when we talk about such diverse topics. I think our largest topic right now is pornography. Our second largest is China. We're very enthusiastic about Chinese pornography. From there,
you can... Our most link through is Asian Ranch.
Is that a site?
Do that.
Do that, really?
No, don't do that. Okay. You think what they test on real horses is bad?
So, pony play. No, you can also from there find a link to our iTunes page. I am still petitioning Squarespace to allow us to keep more than 20 episodes at a time up on the feed. For that, I'm incredibly sorry, but you can directly download stuff from the website. But subscribing in iTunes still helps us out tremendously. That helps us rise in the rankings, as does leaving us a review or a rating, all of that. One thing that has actually been a huge help, and I know of a couple of people who've been doing this, and I want them to know that it is incredibly helpful and everybody else, should attempt to do the same, is to go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar. One option is to give us money, which you shouldn't do. Don't do that. But if you're going to be buying stuff from Amazon, use that link that's on the tip jar, and we will get credit for sending you that way for when you buy your next Moleskine notebook or your next, Kindle book or whatever, things of that nature, or your next, $1,000, thing. We get 4% of that. It helps, defray the bandwidth cost of the show. We're actually like catching up on covering the cost of like what it costs for you fuckers to download this shit every week.
It would be a lot easier to catch up if you let less people download it.
Yeah. So like if you guys could just like stop, if this would be the last one you listen to, that would be fantastic. But if you're going to disobey us patently, you can tell your friends about us as well. Was there something that I missed?
I think that you covered it duly.
Sweet. Good night.
Good night.